Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Doug Slayton in Galesburg at 309-341-5003. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Let's check how prices fared in the resumption of trading on this Friday morning. In Kansas City, May wheat opened at 6:04, down 2 on the open. At the Chicago Board of Trade, May wheat opened at 5:57, up 1 3/4. July, 5:69, up 1 1/4. May corn opened at 3:97 1/2, up 1. July, 4:07 1/2, up 1/2. December, 4:29, up 3/4. May beans opened at 9:48, up 7 1/2. July, 9:46, up 6. November, 8:95, up 2 1/2 on the open. May soybean meal open at 298.50, up 220 on the open. May soybean oil open at 32.35, up 44 on the open. April live cattle open at 85.20, up 45 on the open. March feeders 94.10, down 15. April lean hogs 62.50, up 45. And May bellies 90.10, down 165 on the open. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Mike Zuzulo of Risk Management Commodities. He is in Lafayette, Indiana. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Dave.
This from a backgrounder on the International Monetary Fund's latest report. It reads, it's clear that the global economy is likely to contract for the first time since the Second World War in 2009 at this point. We expect global GDP to decline between 0.5% and 1% in 2009. Credit conditions remain severely impaired, and uncertainty about bank balance sheets remain high, impeding a return of market confidence, and continued expansionary macro and economic policies will be needed to support global aggregate demand and break adverse feedback loops between real and financial sectors. Does this help explain Ben Bernanke's all-in move at the FOMA?
I think a lot, Dave. I think the key with Bernanke is that he is a Milton Friedman monetarist, you know, a University of Chicago-type monetarist where he believes the money supply can and will influence GDP and aggregate demand. By doing what he did, by lowering the interest rates with this bond buy, this treasury buy, his goal, and economic theory would say, you're going to lower interest rates, and at the exact same time, you're also going to increase net exports. You're also going to increase your amount of investment by investors in the United States, and therefore increase that aggregate demand. The issue comes back to the trade volumes, and the G20 report also, you know, pointed out trade volumes, quote, continue to shrink rapidly, while production and employment data suggest that the global activity continues to contract in the current quarter. I think, Dave, probably the best way to cut through all this from our standpoint is where are we in terms of world trade and merchandise trade, because that's really what we're talking about here. We're trying to get demand back, unemployment down. For what reason? To get trade back on its back on the right path. Almost 90% of world trade is financed on credit. Before the crisis, we had about $25 billion worldwide of excess credit. Now we have a negative $100 billion amount. And we're talking about $10 trillion a year, roughly, that's traded in this credit market with almost, like I said, 90% of people and businesses using credit for the short term for world trade. Credit spreads right now are running anywhere from 12% over to 30% over in some parts of Asia, 20%, 30% over the interbank, the overnight lending interbank rates. Before the crisis, they were only running about a tenth or a 15th of a percent over those interbank rates. I think these are the things that push the Fed to go after and be so aggressive in what they're doing with their policy decision they made this week. And I think the main thing we can take away from it is these toxic assets have not been dealt with yet. They're too big, I think. And I think the problem becomes it's kind of like a body that has blood poisoning. You're at a point now where the poisoning is all over the blood system. There's really nothing you can do medication-wise or antibiotics-wise to get that blood poisoning under control. You need a complete transfusion. And I would say this money that the Fed is pumping in and this stimulus that the government's trying to give us and push through the Congress is the new blood into the human body, and it leaves a lot more questions than it does answers as far as whether it's going to work or not.
We certainly got a knee-jerk reaction in corn, beans, and wheat on the FOMA news to the upside. I guess the question is the sustainability of the market rally possible, or is it in a question? And if it's in question, what do we do about it?
We're going to say that it is sustainable because Chicago is breathing fire, almost fire-breathing inflation now. The trend and the sentiment of the trend and the sentiment this week has really turned more inflationary in terms of a bias by the Chicago traders and by the investment community, probably getting new spec money coming into the markets. But I would say, based upon what Bernanke has done in the economic side and the financial side and the credit side, if you see dollar-denominated assets, in other words, if you see the dollar go down, that's okay. But if you see the stocks go down with it, and you see the bonds go down with it, and you see all dollar-denominated assets go down, or the most important three there, you're talking about a lot of these foreign central banks losing a lot of money because of this federal rate decision. I think that will then transpire back into the funds and the speculators and the inflation bugs coming back out of the market and pulling the plug on their positions. So I think the best thing to watch here in the short term, especially as we enter this critical micro fundamental supply and demand time period with the acres and the grain stocks right on our heels, I think it's real important to watch to see if the dollar drags down the bonds, thereby increasing interest rates, drags down the stock market, thereby lowering equity values, and essentially the Federal Reserve, by wanting to heal the financial markets with the mortgage-backed securities, wanting to heal the housing market with their buyout of all these issues with the balance sheet, that doesn't end up working in the real market, in the real-time world. And that would, I think, cause an immense amount of reversal in the price projections and the sentiment of inflationary bias in the trade right now.
So if dollars go down, if stocks go down, if bonds go down, the foreign central banks lose confidence, spec money is pulled out of the market, and grains then begun to come lower. That's essentially what you're saying.
Yes, and most importantly, in the economic real-world life, if the dollar keeps going down and the bonds and the stocks go down with it, then you not only have the negative there, but all of a sudden you have the weaker dollar not allowing Europe to export their way out of the hole. You have Asia not allowing themselves to export their way out of the hole because we're most of their buyers, we in Europe. So if our currency is weak and Europe can't export and fund their imports from Asia, all of a sudden this whole thing turns into a massive negative issue. And I think it's worth noting that I'm not trying to be a negative bear here. I'm trying to give real-time data and real-time potential while we're dancing on $4-plus dollar futures in corn and while we're dancing on near $9 futures in new crop beans. We have to go back to the merchandise trade and the global trade flows. And when we saw the export sales, year-to-date commitments of wheat down 23%, corn down 42% right now. The only thing that's got a bright light is the beans. They're up 6% year-to-date on commitments. That's really where it stands for us as far as demand and the merchandise trade flows. If we start to see those come back, led by the credit markets easing, then we can start talking about a demand-led rally instead of supply-led rallies.
So that's all looking ahead. But what do I do today with this rally that FOMA's given me?
We've got May puts that we rolled to July puts, took about 10 to 20% of our hedges off. So we're sitting around 50% with both July puts and a small increment, 10 to 20% on cash sales on corn. We're hitting close to that 435 to 450 level that we talked about in our copy and also at the beef house to continue to make more sales. We're not going to change our recommendations based upon the Fed. In fact, we feel like they probably have a better chance of getting hit, and we want to take them when we can. So we're still looking for 435 in Dease corn on the bottom end to start hedging. We're still looking for the November beans to get to 925 on the bottom end to start hedging. Still want to be at 50% hedged in both going into that acreage and grain stocks report with the combination of cash sales, forward contracts, and the bought puts. So then if we can get to our overvalue levels of the above $5 in Dease corn and above the 10-20 level in the November beans, we'll go ahead and start making plans to get three-quarters of the way hedged, maybe even more than that, depending on how fast we plant and things like that. So we're continuing with the same mindset in terms of the hedge analysis.
Thank you, Mike.
Thanks, Dave. Take care.
You too. Mike Zuzulo of Risk Management Commodities. You're listening to WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD2 and HD3 Urbana.